When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
This is a new day. This is a new everything. Quote, unquote.
It's Janice a new said, day.
It's a new everything. This is the Jillian Michaels. And with, I don't want to say and, I don't want to give you that much credit. With Janice show.
You know what?
Because it's a new day and a new everything. That's right. That's how Janice has decided to introduce this show today. So I thought I would humor her. All right. So here's we're going to talk about being vegan right now. This is just all over the place.
No kidding.
It's everywhere, man. Even Oprah did a segment on this several weeks back. So let's get into this. This is very, very complicated. You can't just become vegan. You can, but it would not be the healthiest thing in the world. You got to understand, we are built as omnivores. We're omnivores. That means we eat plants and meat. That is how we have evolved. So I want to address all of the various options. I'm not saying you can't go vegan. I just, if you do, you need to do it responsibly. And I want to talk about the pros and the cons of it. So the first thing, obviously, for those of you out there who may not know what being vegan is, it means you eat zero animal protein product, nothing, no eggs, no dairy, no meat, no nothing. And there are, of course, varying forms of vegetarianism, but that is by far the most extreme. Now, here's the thing. Being vegan is best for the planet, period. It's the absolute best thing you could do for the planet. And as a person who obviously cares about the planet and who is a crazy animal lover, do I want to advocate this in my heart of hearts? Sure, I do. Yes, of course I do. I want to say, let's all go vegan. But the health expert in me wants you to know that it is not the best thing for your body. So we kind of run into this little crossroads where, you know, it's like, well, isn't the best thing for the planet the best thing for my body? Where do those two things meet up? What's confusing about it? Why isn't it the best thing for my body? And again, it's because we have evolved to be omnivores. So I know a lot of you, and I've heard this from a lot of you, are thinking or saying, well, the biggest, most powerful animals in the world, from the elephant to, you know, the buffalo or blah, 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 these gigantic, powerful creatures eat grass. They're vegetarians. Yes, and they're also what's called a ruminant. And what that means is that they have an organ in their body that we do not have that can take grass and convert it into protein. And then what we do as a human being is consume the animal and get the protein from the animal. And they have converted it from the grass. So we are not ruminants. It's very difficult for us to get the proper amounts of iron, vitamin B, protein, what have you, as vegans. Can it be done? Absolutely. Here's my concern with it, though. It is a full-time job, and that means that you have to be supplementing responsibly. You have to make sure that you're eating the right types of foods, because a lot of times when people go vegan, it's not accessible. It's not a realistic way of life. You're not going to be able to go to a restaurant and be vegan. There's probably lard in the beans. There's probably milk or dairy or butter in one of the ingredients or the dishes that you're getting. It's just extraordinarily difficult to do that on a daily basis unless you're preparing every single meal at home. And even if you are, a lot of times vegans turn to processed carbohydrates. They end up eating a ton of processed grains because they don't have the money for organic whole grains. Or they eat a tremendous amount of soy, which we all know I am the anti-soy girl. I hate it. I hate soy. Bad soy. Bad. And we'll talk about that in a minute. So now you're looking at, how am I supposed to apply this within my financial means? And it is possible, because if you're spending less on meat, then hopefully you can afford organic fruits, vegetables, and grains. But then you need to find the time to prepare it. So now we need the money for the organics, the time to prepare it. I need you to spend a significant amount of time educating yourself about how to get all the vitamins and minerals, in particular minerals, that you're not getting from your meat anymore. And of course, the best source of that, if you're going to go after that, the best source of protein is going to be beans and nuts for a vegan. Always. But you also, and hemp. Hemp is an excellent source of protein for vegans. But at the same time, you always need to count calories. And being vegan tends to lend itself to eating more calories because of the types of foods you're needing to eat. Nuts, although extraordinarily nutrient dense, are also very calorie dense, very high in calories. My advice to you as a health person, as opposed to, you know, Jillian the individual versus Jillian the health expert, is eat meat in moderation. Eat high quality meat in moderation. So, for example, if you're eating beef once a week versus, let's say, four times a week, or you're eating, chicken, pork, beef, once a week, maybe twice a week, in moderation, then you're going to be able to afford the grass-fed beef, the organic chicken, because you don't need that much meat to be healthy. A little bit is really all that you need. And you can afford then the higher quality of meat, the meat that is produced in an ethical way. And when I say ethical, I'm talking about no hormones, no antibiotics, no crowded cattle lots where they're literally covered in their own excrement and feces, where we're getting salmonella and E. coli from the way the meat is produced. And, you know, the methane is destroying the ozone layer, and the runoff is literally polluting our oceans and our rivers. By investing in ethical meat, you are protecting your body and protecting the planet. And you just simply eat less of it, okay? Here's a good website for you, because I know you're thinking, well, how do I do that? Where do I find it? Eatwild.com is a great website. It will have a tremendous amount of resource for you to find local, organic, ethically produced meat. And then seafood. Now, here's an interesting one. Seafood is kind of a tough one. I personally have stopped eating chicken and beef. I've stopped eating all meat except seafood. But I do eat some organic dairy. I have organic yogurt, and I do have organic eggs. Why do I do this? Because I saw a film called Earthlings about slaughterhouses and what have you, and I just personally, Jillian the individual, can't eat the meat anymore. But Jillian, the individual, is also Jillian, the health expert, and has the financial resources to take a host of supplements every morning and to go organic, and the knowledge of, like, okay, I eat this much, you know, beans, and I add vitamin C to my spinach to get better iron absorption, what have you. Like, I have the ability to do that. It's more accessible for me. I don't think that that's accessible for the average bear, as we've discussed. So with that said, I think healthy meat in moderation, eatwild.com, seafood. Now, you got to be careful with this. Unfortunately, seafood right now, loaded with mercury, full of toxins. And if we want to talk from an environmental perspective, one of the worst things that we're doing to the planet. overfishing it. I mean, it's shocking. You go and you see these crazy nets that go on for 50 miles that are killing whales, dolphins, sharks. You know, they're dredging the bottom floor to get shellfish, and they pull up, you know, hundreds of thousands of creatures, all of which they just toss aside after they've killed because they're useless. They're not, you know, sea urchins. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And of course, the environmental ramifications of this in the long term are staggering. You know, you're going to have whole populations of fishermen that are out of work because, like, whole entire economies are going to collapse because of this in the long term. It's like we're throwing off the whole balance of life. So we also have to consume that responsibly with regard to our physical health and the health of the planet. And a good resource for you to know, okay, this fish is safe, this fish is toxic, you know, this fish is ethically, you know, it's safe to eat this fish farmed, this fish not so much, you know, this is fished in a safe and ethical way. A really good site for you to do that is www.montereybayaquarium.org/CR/seafoodwatch.aspx.
Oh my God, that's long. We'll have to put that on your site.
Just put seafood safety. Google.
Okay.
Seafood safety Monterey Bay Aquarium. Google. And it'll come right up. It's long. Oh, for God's sake.
Well, I'm for the people, okay?
You're for the people.
I'm keeping my eye out for the
good
people.
Good to know.
Well,
good to know, Sally Field. Another Karen Silkwood. Cheers. Crying out loud.
That's good, though. That's good.
So, you know, and again, I give you these resources because if you're an environmentalist and that's why you've gone vegan, you can consume meat in a way that is safe for the planet. And of course, if you're worried about your health, you can consume meat that will promote optimal health versus damaging your health with, of course, the antibiotics and the hormones in the poultry, the cattle, what have you, and the toxins in the seafood. So my real argument to you here is, or my the case that I'm trying to make is one of balance. It's one of balance. It's one of becoming informed, becoming conscientious, becoming educated, and taking a balanced approach to your diet. And for those of you that are vegan, God bless. I mean, you're definitely doing your part. I would just really say to you, please make sure that you look into supplementation and you avoid the soy. And I'll do a real quick hit on soy. Soy is a, for the most part, 90%+ genetically modified organism, genetically modified crop. And that becomes dangerous for a host of reasons that I'll get into in another show, probably on GMOs. But they're covered in pesticides that are linked to infertility, that are linked to cancer. Soy is a crop that has a tremendous amount of something called phytic acid in it, which blocks mineral absorption, which is terrible for the body, of course. And then it has isoflavones in it that are known to attack thyroid. It's related to hypothyroidism. The only form of soy I ever want to see you consume is fermented organic soy. Then we get rid of the pesticides, the GMO ramifications, the phytic acid, and even still, extreme moderation. That's the key when it comes to soy. So there you have it. What do you feel? You feel like I covered? You feel good about it?
I do.
You feel informed?
I do appreciate what you first said, that it can't happen. You can't just become vegan overnight.
Oh, you got it. Yeah.
You can't.
Got to do your homework on it. Really got to do your homework on it. And again, it's like for all those reasons of being, you know, safe with regard to your health and safe with regard to the environment, you can do it and still be an omnivore. Sound good?
Yeah, I have to go to the bathroom, so we need to take a break.
Inappropriate.
Well, I'm just being, we're being honest here. Please take a break.
Taking a break, I guess.
Okay, I'm back now.
You're back now?
How come you just sat here the whole time? I thought,
what was I supposed to do?
Maybe do quick. A couple little stretches. What? Do I have to explain what I did?
It was like a second.
It was not a second. I might do some jumping jacks or something. I'm worried about your energy today.
What?
Well, I'm just concerned.
You feel like I'm not bringing it?
No, I think you're doing very well. But I think maybe you should do a little stretch.
What do you think? You think I'm lethargic?
No, I don't think you're lethargic.
I've lost my mojo. You know, in the last show, you called me fat, and now
I did not call
you're
me fat.
Saying that last, I'm low energy.
The last show was after the Super Bowl, and I wanted to know more about the legs. That's all. I'm done now.
Okay. You've cleared your bowels.
Oh, you know what?
Good, good. Now I'm ready. All right,
someone's
you're done.
Going to hurt you.
No, are you ready?
There's not anybody else in this room but me, okay?
Are you ready to do a show?
Yeah.
Do you feel good now?
Please.
Good to go. Okay. So, Janice wants like an 8-minute segment here. So, I'm going to craft this sucker into an eight-minute segment so it fits nicely into her 45-minute, perfectly timed podcast for your drive to work. So here we go. I think I can make this around 8 minutes. Someone start their stopwatches. Hang on. It's 10:38 on my clock. God knows what time it is for you guys. But by Allah, not that I care about you guys. It's all about me. So at 11:46 on my clock, I'm going to wrap this bad boy. Here we go. I thought we could talk about effective fitness for fast workouts.
Oh, I like that.
I do too. All right, so here's the thing. I get it. We're all crunched for time. Makes perfect sense to me. You know, we want to get the biggest bang for our seconds in the gym. We want to see the most calories burned. How can this be effective? Now, a lot of information out there about these, you know, just work out throughout the day. Like, can we do 10 minutes now and 10 minutes later and 10 minutes at night? Want to talk about that. Want to talk about, I hate to bash someone in particular, so I'll try to be obscure, even though you'll obviously figure it out. And it's truly because I don't want another lawsuit to defend. But, you know, like 6 minutes in the afternoon. You follow me. Like, you know, just X amount of minutes a day to the blank of your dreams. That's crap. That's not going to cut it. Okay, so you're not going to be able to put in my opinion, if you put in anything less than 20 minutes, and even 20 minutes bums my flow, but if you put in anything less than 20 minutes, just forget about it. I mean, forget about it. So don't think that you could do 8 minutes or 6 minutes or 7 minutes or 10 minutes and it's like, woo, I'm fit. No. For a host of reasons, because when it comes to weight loss, this is about calories in, calories out. So obviously the longer you work out is one variable when it comes to burning calories. More calories you burn, quicker you lose weight. How can we up that calorie burn in a shorter period of time? I'm going to ask you, give me a minimum of 20 minutes. I always lie to you guys on like 30 day shred and stuff. It's like, oh, it's a 20 minute workout or ripped in 30. I say 20, but it's really like 25. It really is. It's really like 25 because I, and you know what? You didn't know. You still loved it. You still do it. But what I did in those workouts to make them effective is I utilized intensity and I utilized multiple muscle groups. Synergistic core-based training, multiple muscle groups at the same time. So I did a lot of combo lifts or hybrid lifts. For example, a lunge and a curl, a squat and a press, so that I'm combining all of these muscle groups into the same exercise so that, of course, we don't need to do, you know, legs and then arms and then abs. We're doing it all at once, which number one saves us time. But number two, the more muscle groups that we're recruiting into the exercise, the more calories we're burning. And by the way, the more functional you're making your body in the long run. Because the reality is that your muscles are constantly synergizing throughout the day. Your upper and lower body, your core, everything's working together at the same time. We don't artificially isolate muscles like you would do on a leg extension as you're going about the course of your day. So when you train in this fashion, not only is it going to make you leaner faster, but it's also going to help you prevent injury and perform better throughout the routine of your everyday life. Third technique I employ is something called circuit training. And this means there's no rest throughout the course of the workout. I'm snapping my fingers. That means hop to it. If you hear that in the back, keep it rolling. Don't stop. Now, you could go from one exercise to another. So, for example, let's say we're doing push-ups, which is going to incorporate shoulders, triceps, chest, abs. We go straight from push-ups into, let's say, a bent-over dumbbell row. Where now we've got low back, upper back, a little bit of bicep happening. So we've changed the muscle groups that we're working, but we haven't stopped exercising. This way we keep it rolling throughout the entire 20 to 30 minutes to make sure that you're maximizing your time, getting that calorie burn. Now, where the intervals come into play. High intensity interval training, you may have heard of it, is called HIIT training. But what you do is you throw in a cardio, or I like to throw a cardio interval into my resistance training circuits. okay? Let's say a minute of jump rope, a minute of sprints, jumping jacks, as Janice has so affectionately requested of me today. Okay, jumping jacks. Like, who is she, Jack LaLanne? Honestly. Okay, so point being, we throw an intense cardio interval in there to jack up heart rate, to burn a ton of calories, and then we go back into our resistance training. So this combination of techniques is going to be the most effective at getting a high calorie burn in a shorter period of time. That's the only way to make these short workouts work for you, is to up that intensity. And those techniques, I find, are the best way, because there's your problem with the duration of your workouts, is the amount of calories you're burning required to be effective. And there are some studies out there that will tell you, okay, squeeze in 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes on your lunch hour, and 10 minutes at night. I don't like that. I don't find that that works best for me. In my studies on hormones, endocrinology, and yes, I'm not an endocrinologist, but I happen to work with two fabulous ones, one who you guys are pretty familiar with, Dr. Van Hurley. You have to be exercising for an extended period of time, at least 20 minutes, to start releasing a lot of those fat-burning hormones. The HGH, the testosterone, those 10-minute bursts don't really get your biochemistry flowing to release those fat-burning hormones. And the afterburn effect of the 20, 30 minutes together, or what's called exercise post-oxygen consumption. And basically, after you've done an intense workout, your body has an elevated metabolic rate, again, depending upon time and duration of your workout. And it could be for a half an hour, it could be for 2 days, depending upon those factors and how you've maximized them. But the longer you go in a stint of exercise, so 20 to 30 minutes, you're going to get a better afterburn effect, a raised metabolism, than you would in those 10-minute increments. Kelly from Michigan, what's up?
Hi, Jillian.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks.
This is a real pleasure, and I appreciate you taking my question. Thank you.
Oh, no. Thanks so much for talking to us.
I'm 38, married, mom of three young boys, working mom.
Oh, wow. You got your hands full.
I've struggled with my weight forever,
okay,
as long as I can remember. And 8 months ago, my youngest son was diagnosed with juvenile diabetes at the age of 19 months.
What?
Yeah. We found it at a well baby visit, of all places.
Wait a sec. Hold on. Not type 1. Type 2?
Type 1.
Oh, type 1. Okay, gotcha, yeah. gotcha. Okay, sorry. Because, the juvenile adult onset has sort of gone by the wayside because so many kids are getting type 2. So,
right.
Okay, type 1. Okay.
Type 1, yep. And I've had such a struggle pulling myself together. And now I thought maybe that would be the thing that would make me, because now I'm responsible for him and teaching him the way to grow up and treat his body. And I'm still struggling. And I'm just wondering if you had any advice for how I would pull myself together to make sure I'm doing right by him and the rest of my family, but him in particular.
Okay.
To make sure he's, growing up and taking care of himself the way he needs to do it.
Okay. Tell me this. I'm going to ask you a few questions.
Yeah.
How do you lose weight?
what do you mean, how do I lose?
Physically.
Not easily.
No. I'm asking you literally, how do you lose weight?
Oh, you cut your calories and you exercise more.
Ha. So it's not a lack of information or a lack of common sense.
Right.
Okay. So what do you think is holding you back?
I think I'm a mental mess about it. I think that's the problem.
The Mental Mess Club? Mm-hmm. I happen to be founding member. So, yeah, so that's okay. I'm definitely a founding member, and I'm pretty sure that Janice runs a chapter in Canada. So I just want you to know you're not alone with that. But with that said, there are ways of learning how to take a coping mechanism, which I believe that overeating is, when it is not a lack of information, and you've established for me that it isn't. So there are ways of learning how to cope with life's hardships, and the messes that sometimes occur in our lives that are constructive versus destructive. So when you're feeling a mental mess, when you're feeling like you're unraveling or you're upset or you're overwhelmed or what have you, what's going on?
It's usually, I would say 99% of the time, feeling like I don't have control of anything. Mm. Like I'm not keeping it together. I'm not keeping a handle on, you know, whatever it is at the time. Life balance, you know, get the kids here, go to work. You know, the house is a mess. I gotta, you know, I mean, just every things that people deal with every day.
Yep.
That I tell myself, well, other people do it. What the hell's the matter with you? Why can't you do it?
Oh,
you know?
Wow. So. Okay. We need to start a support group for these kinds of moms. I got to tell you, because you guys just have such an unrealistic idea of, you know, it's like there's this, I think that our culture has created this illusion of a super mom. You know, the mom that works full time, is a perfect wife and a perfect mother and shuttles three kids around and doesn't miss a beat. And, you know, when you don't fit into that superhero role, there's a tremendous amount of judgment that goes along with it. And it's like, I am less than, I am a failure. I am, you know, and it begins like, it's like the kneeling on rice in the corner, flogging yourself. And I've seen this drill from so many women like yourself. And I think the first thing we need to do is dispel that. It's just not real. There's a reason that we have that old cliche about it taking a village, because it does. And we used to previously in older cultures and in other cultures have, what's the word I'm looking for? Family models set up so that grandparents could be involved. So, you know, where siblings could be involved, where we were able to recruit other family members or other peers, women, friends, to sort of team up and take life on in this way. Because it's just impossible. I truly believe that it is impossible to do well, for that matter, and look after yourself and look after the kids on your own. So the first thing you need to do here is forgive yourself and know that you're not alone in this struggle. That's an illusion. That's a lie that our culture sells women of, like, you can do it all. You can be it all. You can do it all. We need help. We need support. And then, of course, we need to get informed and start prioritizing. And in other words, like, you got to make your health a priority. Is the house being messy, you know, really that bad? You have to kind of look at things that you can let go control of, that you sort of surrender to, where it's like, all right, so, it, you know, his room's a mess. Whatever. You know right. what I mean? It's like, is it going to kill you? No. Is it going to kill him? No. So his room's a mess. You know what I mean? It's like, you got other things on your plate. It's okay.
Right.
It's okay. So I want you to look at your life and, number one, forgive yourself and stop buying into this this superhero, super mom concept, because it's bullcrap. Number two, I want you to look at your life and say, okay, this stuff really doesn't matter. It's not going to make or break any of us in the house. This stuff's irrelevant. You know, this stuff is critical. My health, their health, this stuff is the stuff I prioritize. And how do I do that? And then I want you to sit down and start thinking about ways of recruiting support, or teaming up, carpooling, you know, taking turns with the moms in your kids' school, I don't know, babysitting once a week, or reaching out to parents, reaching out to siblings for support, starting to kind of tag team all of these responsibilities with your husband so that you cannot do it all. Get rid of it. Not going to happen. And the strongest thing that you would be able to do right now is accept your humanity and be vulnerable enough to start asking for the help. And when you get that help, you will in turn become healthier and stronger and better able to support the loved ones in your life, because that's the currency of goodwill. When we're able to accept good things, it makes us stronger, healthier, and happier. And we're able to then kind of pay that forward. You know the pay it forward ideal. But it can't just be pay it forward. You got to be able to take it in. You got to be able to allow the goodness in. So those are the things I want you focusing on. You follow me? I want you to,
yep, absolutely.
I want you to stop judging yourself. I want you to prioritize your, you know, the things that are important within the household, and the family dynamic. And I want you to start reaching out for help.
I can do that.
All right, Rockstar. Call me back in a month. Let me know how it's going.
I will. Thanks, Jillian.
Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Poor baby's got 3 kids and a job and married. I mean, she's obviously, it's like, it's a lot.
No, you're right with that.
I am.
It is. No, but we have developed this. If you can't do it all, then you're failing.
My God, it's become a society that idealizes autonomy. It's like, I did it myself. I'm an island. I need no one. I'm on my own here. Yeah. And it's just such a lie. And we portrayed it as weakness. You know, it's like, oh, you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it all. You're not the modern woman. What's that? That's bullshit is what that... Ooh. Uh-oh. You think so?
Is that okay, Paul?
It's a podcast.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, it's a podcast.
Screw it. We will never sell sponsorship on this bad boy. I'll tell you that right now.
All right.
Moving on.
We got Lisa waiting.
Okay. Lisa from Connecticut. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jillian?
I'm good, buddy. What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for calling. I just had a question regarding the amount of exercise that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I know for most people, they can't get motivated enough or they struggle with fitting it into their schedule, you know. And I, on the other hand, I feel like I'm working out too much. It's almost like this crazy, like, adrenaline rush I get when I work out.
Okay. What are your... You don't sound like you have weight to lose. So you're in maintenance.
No, I'm about 5'5", about 130 pounds.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not overweight. I feel like I'm pretty muscular.
Do you have any goals, or is this just a sort of like a? I'm wondering if this is okay. I'm just wondering if you have any, like, if there's anything going on with your body that would cause alarm.
Not really. I mean, it's more to me like a psychological thing. I think like every day. It's almost like a challenge. You know, I wake up and I'm like, how far can I push myself today?
Okay, but is it... All right, so before I get into what you're doing, is it hurting any aspect of your life? So I know how I need to approach you here, if I need if I need to take a, you know, tough
I know
love.
There are times where I put exercise ahead of some of the other important things in my life.
Example.
Not that I'm like neglecting. I don't have children or anything. That's like I'm neglecting children.
Not an abusive mother. Check.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait. Go back to. All right. So like what? What are you neglecting?
Like for example, like let's say, I don't know. Like I remember during like the holidays, it was like Christmas time, and my family wanted to go Christmas shopping, but me not being able to get in like my 3-hour workout. I felt like cranky and irritable, like because I couldn't do it, or if I did do it, it meant sacrificing doing some of the funner things in life, like going shopping or going out to dinner with friends.
Okay, so it is all right. So you find that it is inhibiting your ability. Is it inhibiting your ability to have relationships? Is it inhibiting your ability to be social? Because
no, I
don't know that I'd want to go shopping with my family. I think I'd rather put a gun to my head. So
no,
that
I mean, I've been with my boyfriend for 8 years, and he's phenomenal. Trying to get him motivated to exercise more. I think I exercise enough for the both of us. And he's very supportive of me, but he's concerned, like, I'm overdoing it, and then when it does come time to, like, have a family someday or that kind of thing, you know, he gets concerned about that.
All right. Okay. I feel you.
Down.
All right, so he's put some doubt. Okay, got it. So he's like, this is crazy. You're working out too much, and, you know,
yeah.
You need to prioritize other aspects of our life. Okay. Okay, so it could potentially cause some marital or some relationship strain.
It could definitely.
All right. Okay, so what are you doing?
Okay, normal day.
Yeah.
All right. I hit the gym. Let's say I'm a massage therapist, by the way. So,
cool.
Yeah. So that's a really physical job, and I do that about 5 hours a day.
Okay.
But prior to going into work, I'm at the gym for about 3 hours. That's normal. Sometimes it goes from 2, sometimes it's almost 4.
What kind of workouts are you doing when you're there? Are you like,
okay,
I'm going to throw in a set of pull downs, or are you like, you know, are you tack fitting across the gym?
No, I'm like a maniac.
Maniac for 3 hours.
I'll do about 90 minutes on the elliptical rider.
Okay.
At a pretty high intensity, you know, heart rate's up to about 160, 170.
Okay.
Get off of that. You know, I do lift, so I break it up into basically like chest and triceps, biceps, back, shoulders and legs.
Okay.
So, you know, I do lift in that sort of regimen. Obviously, I don't lift all body parts in one day. I know enough not to do that. But, like, let's say, like yesterday, went to the gym, did 90 minutes of cardio on the elliptical.
Okay.
Got off, lifted legs, did interval, like jumping jacks, sit-ups in between every set.
Okay.
Like, I don't like to sit and be idle while I'm at the gym. So, like, I'll do, like, 15 reps, get up, do 10 jumping jacks, sit down, do 15 reps, get up, do 10 jumping jacks.
Okay.
You know,
okay. Okay.
Like...
Hold it. All right. So. All right. Yeah. There are a couple of things to be conscious of.
Okay.
You are definitely overdoing it. Often with regard to physicality, you would see signs of decreased performance. You would notice that your strength has lessened. You would often feel kind of bloated, soft. Your body fat composition would actually be higher than mm-hmm. you would expect it, simply because your body would begin to cannibalize its own muscle. Unless,
right.
of course, you're eating a tremendous amount of calories. That's sort of the, if you're eating a ton of calories, it becomes kind of a different, you would build more muscle. Are you eating a ton of calories?
Well, not restricting calories at all.
Okay.
But I don't pig out either. You know what I'm saying?
My
diet is pretty like whole foods, raw foods, vegetarian.
But this is about calories. So like, let's say you're creating a massive, ridiculous energy deficit because you're like, well, I eat 1600 and I burned, 3000 in my workout and I'm skinny. It's like, that's where your body would really start to deteriorate because it would cannibalize itself. So as long as you're
right.
meeting your caloric requirements and you're finding sort of an even playing field there, it's like, okay, I'm eating as much as I'm burning because you're already at a healthy weight. It will do significantly less damage to your body. What you might get are overuse injuries. You might start developing tendonitis, bursitis.
Exactly.
You might start to notice that. In which case, you would obviously have to dial it back. I think that, here's the thing. How dangerous is this addiction of yours? You're not smoking crack on the corner. You're not, you're also not anorexic. It's not, I'm not worried about putting you in the ground in 6 months. So
no,
I think you're going to do, you'll do some overuse damage. You'll probably blow your knees and your hips out before you should.
Oh, Jesus. No, I don't want to do that.
Okay. But that's what you're looking at. If you're matching the calories, then your body composition should be okay. So as long as you're doing that, it's less of a concern. But I think we also need to look at how this is going to affect the quality of your life in other areas.
Right.
So, it sounds like your husband is concerned that it's like, babe, I want to do this with you and you got to hit the gym. Or what if we have kids and you got to be in the gym for 3 hours? So it's clear that it's definitely on his mind and he's kind of gingerly broaching the topic with you. And,
right.
My argument to you is, look, the common sense thing is here. Hit the gym for 90 minutes, see how it goes. When you hit the gym for 90 minutes, what happens? Does your world come to an end?
No, not in the tangible respect of...
No, I'm not looking for tangible. I'm looking for psychological, because that's what's going on here. Do you psychologically feel like it's, the end of the world?
At times, I just feel like it's not my best for the day. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So this is obviously a much deeper issue. This is a form of, obviously, it is similar to probably becoming bulimic or anorexic or having overeating issues, because they're all linked. It's about control.
Right, absolutely.
It's about feeling in control. That's what this is
absolutely.
About. And obviously, in various aspects of your life, probably growing up, you have been made to feel out of control. And this is something that you're like, I can control this. You're obviously a type A. You're a super performer. It's not going to be as simple as me saying hit the gym for 90 minutes because you don't want to get tendonitis. I truly suggest, and I mean this in the most loving way with absolutely zero stigmatism, because I want you to understand I've been in therapy since I was 5. I just think on a deeper level, you could gain some self-awareness here and get to the bottom of what these issues are that are manifesting in a fairly harmless symptom of you going to the gym for 3 hours, but obviously they are extremely deep rooted and you don't know how they're going to manifest in other aspects of your life or take root and be destructive. So I think maybe getting in some therapy for a little while to kind of get to the bottom of like what the control is about, or feeling out of control, or where it's coming from, or how you could feel like you know, in control type A, like you're performing without this crutch, so to speak.
Right.
I highly recommend it. I really do.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you. It's awesome to talk to you. You're such an inspiration to so many people.
Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate you talking to us today.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye.
That's the end. We got to go.
We gotta go. We gotta go again,
but,
don't you?
But guess
gotta
who's...
go. No, gotta go. Gotta go. Gotta go right now. Ooh, gotta go right now.
No, we got Dr. V next time.
Oh, your buddy.
Yeah.
Dr. Rockstar Van Hurley.
Yeah, she's gonna be on with one of her top sevens.
Top sevens. What's the top seven of that one?
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Top seven ways to energize.
Woo!
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. Yeah. Well, in that case, we gotta go. Janice has to go to the bathroom again. Peace.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.